What is up, everybody, and welcome back to the Let's Dig Into That podcast, where we embrace the struggle of being intentionally human. We volunteer our vulnerability in pursuit of growth and lasting change. And who do I do this with? As always, she is royalty of rhythm. She's on a mission to dance in the kitchen. It's Jordan, everybody.
Yes, that's right. I got moves. Thank you to my courageous counterpart, the sweet to my savory, the host to my hedonism. It's Mr. Allergy who got the best of me. Yep, that's
wow.
Right.
Wow, got to bring in the allergies. I was allergic to everything as a kid. It was crazy.
Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. All like, yeah, fun included. I hate that for you. But yeah, from pine and flowers to
meat.
Any
artificial flavoring, it was crazy.
You wouldn't know by looking. You were such a delicate flower.
Well, what it meant is that I just ate fruit snacks and peanut butter and jelly. That was what I ate for 10 years.
So. 10, 20. Yeah, math's hard sometimes.
Math? You said there would be no math?
So I was thinking the other day that I was going with the flow. Yeah, I was like, you know what? I'm going to approach this day. I'm going to be super chill. I had a lot of flexibility, and it felt so rich with possibility. And those were the exact words I used with myself. I was like, you know, I'm going to go with the flow today. Like, just be that chill surfer buried inside.
Yeah, bro.
And then it sounded like such bullshit coming out of my mouth. I was like, do you think? And I'm like, that's crap I'd put on my resume.
Tasted sour
and
on
so
your tongue.
It sounded, yeah, it felt, it tastes a little sour. So I was curious what your read on me. Do you think I'm like a goat? Because I'm like, I'm up for a lot.
Oh, so you're asking
yeah,
me.
Yeah, do you think I'm a go with the
a
flow?
Go with the flow
Because it
of
did.
Person?
It felt like, well, sure, I can.
Let me throw a question back at you. What would you consider the opposite of that?
Rigid, regimented, type A to an extreme. That seems a little name calling because I also think I dabble in that pool. I've been swimming with some type A's for a while.
Well, I would very politely and gently say that your second sort of go around is more of what I see externally looking when I look at you is like, even before we go to bed, we make a plan for the next day, at least the morning.
Because we're not crazy. Because you could wake up and try to go with the flow and into full crisis mode.
Right. And we've had disagreements, I'd call them, or struggles when we don't see eye to eye in this capacity. Because, like, I crave that. I crave a day where there's nothing on the agenda. And I can just kind of let it happen as it happens. But I don't exactly think that that's your forte, and I say that respectfully.
taken with respect, because I want to call you out a little bit. Respect, I'm hoping there's enough buried in here, because I do think it makes you feel that you're in control of it, and it is a success, easy, accomplished. Like, I got to take out the trash, is just a silly lowball that I do. And then you're like, and the rest of the day is just coast.
I think you hit me spot on, where that is exactly how I like to structure a day that I have like no agenda to, is like, these are the three things I got to get done, and I'll get them done when it feels right.
It feels right before the sun goes down on this go with the flow day.
Yeah.
And so I think I do, like, there's a little bit of control tied up in that where it's like, I want to grab the day, and it's like, have I wasted the potential of that 24 hours by being, and I think you're picking up on that I'm a searcher and I move pretty quick. So it's hard to slow down and be quiet in that. So I started kind of, as you can probably tell, going like, holy crap, I'm a control freak, but aren't we all?
We are all hardwired to have control because it's one of the ways that we feel safe. You know what I mean?
That's true. Like, it is the universal, I guess, yeah, that you're wired for this illusion, dare I say? This illusion of safety, because if I plan enough, nothing can go wrong.
Yeah, and I would argue almost the opposite. See, I'm a loose plan kind of guy. I like to have a bubble plan, meaning this is what I want to do. This is the goal, and I'm not really sure how I'm going to get there. And that way, I have the ability to adjust. And so, but I love where you're going with this, with like, what we control and what we can control. And
I said to myself, let's go with the flow. And it barked back. You are packed with rigid expectations. You are living a tiny falsehood of being flexible. You're very... Here's where it's going to get even more complicated. Are you going to follow me down this slight path?
I like it.
Because I feel that my need where I am now taking the reins on my day and I'm like, all right, I'm going to make sure this person is taken care of. I have checked on so-and-so. I have over-involved. I have offered my unsolicited help and touched all these folks that aren't asking for it before I circle back to me. And then I'm like, holy shit, control is how I show love. I'm all up in everyone's business because I'm this controlling, which is, so yeah, my flow spiral.
Wow. So the first thing that makes me think of is when you are all up in someone else's business, to use your own words, and I understand where you're coming from. Things like you go to all your dad's doctor's appointments.
Right.
Probably not always necessary. I can see how it's helpful, but so I understand that. But what does it do for you?
True. Like the opportunity to clearly communicate with him, like, hey, buddy, would you like me to roll with you on this one? I have convinced myself he is incapable. He doesn't want to put me out. He can't make the right decision for himself because he will not want to put me out. So I need to step on in there and bring.
Okay. Yeah. So I see how you get there. But my real question is, when you are meddling in others' lives.
As I do. Yep.
Because you're saying that that's maybe part of your love language, which I get that. Mm-hmm. But what's the feeling at the end of the day when you spent your day catering to everyone else's needs?
Utter loss of control.
Utter loss of control.
Because I realize that I have spent so much time, energy, thumb texting, whatever it might be. Sidewalk chalk is real. Spreading it out with advice and good intentions, just paving that way. That at the end, I'm like, damn, I did not hold myself accountable to those things that you had on your tentative list of I'll get to. I'm not prioritizing. I feel like I'm losing the control that I have of my own agency. And wow, it's completely my own fault, real quick and clear.
No, you
when
should.
I'm like, I'm all tuckered out.
I applaud your awareness. Like, great job there. I'm just sort of baffled by the situation because you continue to do it, but I'm not sure what you're gaining.
Can I stop? Is this a compulsion now? Because it's a natural. I do feel that I have a drive for. There's duty, obligation, path, words that have been used in my past where it's, I jump to say, I got this. And that is a slippery slope and can be a little bit of the slogan for like codependence is like, yeah, I'm so involved in your behaviors and your actions in business that I need to intervene
there
and
go.
Make sure you're making the best decision for you.
Okay.
I know best.
I'm starting to get a little bit better because when I think about control and myself, I struggle to recognize, like, I always want to control how other people think and feel.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And
I think there's an element of that going on with what's happening in your life as well.
That's culturally this giant storm that we're in, right? Is like, yeah. You have absolutely, you have to remind yourself 1,000 times a day, 0.0 control of another's opinion of you, how they're viewing you, thinking about you at all, or what they do, you have no impact. And so, why am I so tired?
Well, that's also a really fun thing to dive into, too. And so I'm going to ask you a question. We're in a relationship. We are married. We are connected in a way that most people aren't. Do you think you can control how I feel?
You know what? I sure can, because if I'm down, I can really quickly, I think I've got some slick maneuvers to bring you right on down to my level.
Right.
But it's true. I cannot throw you a surprise party and manifest how that's actually going to go.
Right.
Your reaction to this gift I'm pumped about.
I think
not at all in control.
I think when you're talking about control, it is so important to make that distinction because it does feel like oftentimes you can control how people feel around you.
What sucks is I cater to how you're like, where
right.
When you give me your tiny response, physical cue, verbal reaction, then I morph into what that.
And you know what the reality is? Even in a marriage like this, most of the time, you're only partially right. You know, you're going to take a cue. You're going to see something that I do.
True. I'm not guessing 100%.
I know. And then your reaction to my subtle thing and trying to pick up on how I feel and control that sort of feeling makes it so maybe you do push me down that, you know, if I'm feeling a little
we
down.
We just reinforce and you each hide other. In, yeah.
But I think it's really important to make the distinction between it can obviously feel like you can have an impact or control how someone feels, but it is a complete illusion because you don't have any control over that. But yeah, can I make you feel sad right now? Yeah, I could say something really shitty to you and make you feel sad.
Well, don't.
But I still, that's not control.
No.
You are the person who's in control of how you feel. And once you can separate those two things, it opens up a whole new world for you, truly.
Right. Imagine me assessing how I feel. Do you recall a time early in our relationship when you were like, I kind of get a read on you and I take in your, you know, vibe in the morning and see how that,
well,
and you know what? I will say good safety mechanism. and it can be very misleading. It's tragic that my resting B face my resting face is total B.
There's not. You look concentrated.
It looks like I'm trying to save.
Concentrated, not constipated. Constipated.
It's a combo of both. I think that's actually confused, constipation, and a little bit pissy.
Your resting face usually prompts me to ask you what you're thinking about, not anything else, because it looks like you're deep in thought, and usually you're like,
mind your business. Mind your business. It's morning. This is my time. So I have a feeling I'm, not alone in this quest of, can I imagine the resources I'd have at hand if I wasn't voluntarily taking on the
right.
I got this, but it is hard on what kind of work am I supposed to do to be like, okay, control may be the way I show love. And again, I don't think I'm pushing anybody. You can call in if you want to. Pushing anybody in a direction that feels scary or uncomfortable. I like to be a pump-up wingman, but you just didn't invite me most of the time. I'm just there. And so how do I still show my amount of love and compassion and my desire to crawl into their skin and live it with them? And how do I make that transition?
That's a really great question. And my initial response to you is that your focus, anytime you're trying to control too much, I go straight back to sobriety because this is a big part of
Serenity Now.
This is a big part of the AA program is learning what you can control and what you cannot. And to be honest with you, there's very little that you can control outside of your own body and mind. That's basically how it breaks down to.
So I'm supposed to live in this sense of unsafety and peril and uncertainty.
Well, no. So let me.
Walking
so
back.
Have you? I'm sure you've seen this because I know that we love. But Mel Robbins has this thing called Let Them.
Yes.
Right now, and I haven't read the book, so I don't want to get too much into it. But that philosophy of sort of let them is exactly sort of relinquishing some of this control that people struggle with.
Great point. And JT's, did I just interrupt your point?
No.
Are you cruising?
I can come back to it. Don't you worry, because it's...
But he's right. We have been exposed just enough to be dangerous to Mel Robbins, fantastic human, and the new book, The Let Them Theory. There's changing the lives of millions of people all over the world. And it is, you're right, because using my dad, doctor, example of wanting to be his wingman. I do love the coffee at the hospital. Great breakfast burritos. I'm just saying. PT, he's not invited me yet, but we'll see how that goes. But with Mel, with the let them, if I give him the choice to say, nope, don't need you this time, I need to not make an excuse to invite myself along. And so the idea of letting them is if you're best friend is a narcissist, that's okay to have a best friend that's a narcissist. Quit trying to change them.
Right.
And just love them for them.
Right.
You know, extreme example, but that effort to I really wish they didn't as much. You have no control.
Yeah. Well, here's another little brain teaser for you. Earlier, I asked you what's the opposite of something. What's the opposite of controlling in your mind?
ambivalence, death, darkness. No, it is true, because I thought a lot about that, because I'm like, all right, if I can't put all my energy there, what do I point it at to fix it? And so it's like, all right, I shall tolerate my narcissistic bestie.
Okay.
It, when she starts getting dialed up.
So tolerance.
You know, I can't. And then I'm like, that is not letting. Like, I feel like there's something in like releasing control. And mm-hmm. so I kind of went down. So where I ended up is kind of in the surrender, which seems like a white flag. And you and I, competitors by nature, surrender's tricky. Sounds it's like a forfeit.
Hard word to
yeah.
conceptualize so, the way that it probably should be conceptualized.
Yes. Another groupie. I'm another groupie for a woman, the one and only Melody Beatty, the codependent queen of the world.
Yes.
And she enlightened me a while back when she was like, I do my best to allow life.
Allow.
And okay. so I feel like I'm still somehow manning the dam of allowing the current that I have responsibility of flow. Maybe that's where my flow is coming from.
Right.
But allowing life, and I really like that. But surrender's the closest I got, and I'd love for you to do better.
I like surrender. Where my mind went with that was acceptance.
Ooh, and much more positive spin. I like it.
Well, the reason I say that is because when you accepted the answer that you got, and we're going to continue to use your dad's doctor's appointments as an example.
Thanks for having me, bud.
Yeah, if he said, hey, I don't need you on this one, and you just accepted it, mm-hmm. Think about what could happen there. There's so many great possibilities that were probably not there. Because I would argue every time you go to the doctor with your dad, it eliminates some of the opportunity that he could maybe meet someone on his own and right. have more things to do without you. And so my argument or sort of point that I want to make here is when you can accept and let them, to use mm-hmm. Mel Robbins' words, what it actually does is clear space for you to make sure that there's more possibilities that are coming into your life. Does that make sense? And so I tried to give it you an example does. Of a possibility that opens up by you accepting that. And the possibility that opens up is maybe your dad goes and meets someone and makes a friend mm-hmm. and has more things to do that allow you to relinquish some of that control, feel more control of yourself. Like when you have this acceptance of I'm not in control of that,
you gave yourself kind of space.
You give yourself space. Huh. Exactly right.
Wow. So I love this optimistic framework that you've set up. What about my need for control? On okay, he doesn't need my, you know, wingman, you know, support on this particular trek. But then that means I'm going to need to know everything that they said and what follow-up appointments were scheduled. And I'm not there to control when we have that conversation. And that's going to interrupt some other part of my regimen, the control of my day. I feel like, yeah, there's too much up in the air of, well, you booked the one I need to be at and I'm not going to be there. And
so take the acceptance up a level. And maybe it is a surrender. I think surrender actually fits so, into yeah. this definition as well. But take it up a level, and you're accepting that your dad can take care of himself. He's a grown man.
Believe it. And I do believe that in my whole freaking heart yeah. and my head. They agree on this one together that the man's got it.
Yeah.
And we all deserve to be loved in that way. And I have never been shown otherwise. And so that's where I think it is the, but if you don't, yeah, the how I show love. That is, yeah, the still, if I'm not somehow inconveniently right in your way, you won't know how much I care. Yeah.
I get that.
But you're right. The opportunities abound. And if you don't allow that space to be riddled with the stress of what you're missing out on or.
Well, I like to, again, when I wake up and I think about my day, I really do practice a few things and mindfulness
mantra moment kind
of mantra mindfulness mm. That's sort of how I always start my day, and I'm not a traditional meditator. We've talked about that a lot, but the thoughts that go on before I actually sit up in bed, mm-hmm. When I'm in the shower, like those are sort of meditative moments for me. And what I'm thinking about is how I'm going to expend the energy I have. How much energy, where's my tank at? And I've talked about this a lot.
You do a little check-in on your tank status. I do check in that.
And so the only question I have for you in response to what you're saying about control is think about where your tank would be if you could get rid of all the controlling behaviors.
And I live in the country where I like to have my tank over half in real life all the time, because you don't know. You don't know when a venture is out.
You don't let it hit quarter tank. You don't let it hit quarter tank.
No, don't. No time for that. And so I would like to think that my body, myself, deserves
right?
a fighting chance to have at least a half tank.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have kids. I don't have that excuse, you know. And again, we've established my dad can take care of himself. Obviously not needed there. I should be riddled
with the acceptance when we can, again, serenity prayer. Don't want to take it back to AA, but can you hit me with it?
God, yes, I think I got it. All right, God, universe, Stella, grant me the serenity to accept, there's that word, to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. So there's probably a lot in that with the wisdom to know the difference. How's that sit?
The wisdom to know the difference is the key part of that. Mm-hmm. You know, we're talking about what we can and cannot control. And when you really take a deep dive, it's very, very minimal.
Short list.
Your thoughts, your actions, pretty much it.
Yes, your thoughts.
And how you, and your reactions.
How you talk to yourself, huge.
Yeah.
And a lot, like, imagine the control power you have in there. Your thoughts, the actions, what you do or do not do. And then I agree with you, like your emotional reaction.
Right. And so when we're talking about this, you love to show love by controlling a situation, by making sure that people are aware, hey, I'm here and I got you. That's kind of one of your love languages. And I think that's totally fine. However, if it's encroaching on your serenity, on who you are, it's becoming a problematic feature. It's becoming overly controlling and it's not allowing you to have the space that you really need, right? So when you start practicing and recognizing with conscious awareness that these things are outside of your control, guess what automatically happens? Oh, I don't have control of that. And you start setting boundaries for yourself, sort of subconsciously of like, oh, that's not inside of my control. So I just sort of need to let that happen and accept it. And with that, you're also setting the boundaries where the next time that your dad has a doctor's appointment, he probably will either be like, oh, well, I don't need Jordan on this one. I didn't need her last time either. And so you've sort of started setting these boundaries that allow that space we were talking about for you.
Imagine the opportunities I'd have to change the world.
That's right. This episode of the Let's Dig Into That podcast is brought to you by...
Find yourself struggling to adapt when plans change, falling victim to cancellations, traffic, and weather? When your flight gets delayed or delivery postponed, are you ready for heads to roll? When the suffering triggered by the illusion of control fails you once again, instead of embarking on a bender, getting divorced, or firing half your staff, pick up a box of Go With The Flow. Go With The Flow offers the latest in sanity science and technology, instantly plugging up the mind's need to think it's in charge. Go With The Flow allows life to risk the inevitable dumpster fire, and you'll feel the 8-hour protection and no need to care. Go With The Flow, now in Super, Super Plus, and Full Surrender.
Not available at Kmart, Walmart, or anywhere else. Not a real product.
And in the, like, there's just such a massive power exchange, too. Like, my need to put, you know, my energy into somebody else's business first. They have all the power and I have none. And so in the letting them, where I have no skin in the game, and you're, you know, talking about this space and this, yeah, extra, you have a little top up on your tank. Like, that is a huge power. Like, it, that flow straight back is significant.
Absolutely. And it's funny because I think a lot of people take control and power, and those are sort of lumped in together. And there's, I guess there's a little bit of truth to that, but I don't like to think of control as power.
Yeah, I definitely mean it in a different way in this
capacity.
Yeah,
it's sort of like your own power is what you're not giving it away at no cost anymore. Because, like, if there's these people that you need to control sort of the narrative of what's going on when you spend time with them, think about what happens if you maybe aren't a part of their every step and you have like a 2 days a week get together with them. Your tank is more full to make sure that your interactions and the time that you spend with them is quality. Does that make sense? As opposed to just being there to be bossy and or whatever. Exactly. You know, and I'm not calling you bossy, yeah, but no, you get what but I'm saying.
I'm the itinerary like, dropper for sure.
If yes. you are intentional about the time that you spend with them as opposed to just dominating it, it's going to be better spent.
Right, because with this mindset and the current kind of routine that I'm in, that I am kind of always like, I'm not present there, that it is like, okay, and then after this, I'm going to do this from 5 to 7, and then I've got this thing, and then before bed, I'm going to da-da-da-da-da, and I'm not in the zone, and you're right, it's because it is more of a, yeah, and I don't want anyone I love to feel like it's a check off a list, and yeah. so that's a really tricky one, and so this spiral I'm in is taxing. This control, and it's a good thing. I do value that I give a shit, and I yes. like the goal here being like I want to love in a better way and not be exhausted. And again, this like I got this was a like that was a charging force and got me through a lot of jams. I got this just bullshit.
Give me out a lot of jams at $50.
Yeah, I need to start doing that more for myself and not I got this and taking on the control of everybody else's.
Well, wouldn't you say that maybe your need to control a situation or a narrative comes from the fact that maybe you feel out of control in other areas of your life?
Yes, I think in the current moment, in a good way, but living a creative life, period. The fact that there is a lack of, you know, at time structure, certain, you know, valuable feedback, and there's a lot of when you're like putting all your eggs in the ethereal basket that you intend to paint.
Yeah.
And so it is, that is, I'm probably, you're right, grasping for being more compensating.
Well, I'm not here to analyze you. I'm just saying.
I kind of wanted it. I came in this with an agenda.
That's what happens in my own life is when I, like, for instance, I have a history of magical thinking.
Oh,
and
yeah, me too.
I think magical thinking is very much tied to feeling out of control in your life. For instance, when the Broncos are losing at halftime, I go and change my jersey.
Football teams.
I go and change my jersey thinking that's going to make a difference.
Is that superstition? Control?
No, that's magical thinking. That's like the textbook definition of it. And I do that and I try to control things that I'm well aware of. I have no control over because it fills me up. It makes me feel like I'm in control
You're
of
involved.
Something. Even though I have no involvement, it did nothing, but it makes me feel good. And so when I feel an element of I'm not controlling this element of my life very well, I find myself thinking things that aren't really real.
Yeah.
Well, it's okay because I have control over this today. There's a football game on and I'm going to wear my special sneakers and hat and it's going to go great.
Oh.
And, you know, it's really not a healthy way to go about it. But what it did for me is it's a great indicator that I have to do more work on myself because I'm not feeling the safety and security that I need in my life.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I should like toss him some fruit snacks right now. But that does make a lot of sense. And I do think we are very different humans. Never one. I mean, I get it. I don't know if I'm exactly on the relate scale, but yes. And so where do you stand in a current, like, obviously I referenced a spiral over here. So how you living?
Well, I think you're absolutely right about creative ventures. You know, this podcast, our book, all the things that we're doing, they do feel very outside of our control. We have little say in what happens next. You know, people have to be intrigued by it. And that does create a constant need for more control over the things in my life. And I think this stage in my life, I've been more controlling with the little things in my life. But it's also led to some negatives where I am the most calm person in a crisis situation, period. True. But yeah. If I drop the spoon out of my cereal and get milk on the floor, I am screaming the F word.
We have one cookie sheet that he thinks is set out to get him.
It pops. You put it in the oven and it throws French onion soup at you. I've never seen anything like
that. But the Tourette's is real.
Fuck.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I did when the
no control
darn
over it.
Pan.
It was super relaxing. He literally used the phrase, I'm going to make this beautiful dinner, and why don't you read and relax? and it was like I was in some sort of a holding cell. Uh-huh. Like, it was amazing.
You know what? Totally worth it. You know what's really hard to control and why chefs are really good at it? It's cooking. My gosh.
It's a different breed.
Yeah. And what I holiday was that that I screamed the F word through?
Oh, I don't know. I would sometimes.
French onion soup and salmon I made you that night.
That, yes.
Yeah. Those things didn't go great.
Hey, that's not true. They actually were fantastic. It was dinner and a show, baby. Well, what I've kind of noticed in myself is when I slip down this slope is when I am so grateful. Like, it becomes a gratitude roster when I'm like, I'm so lucky that they love me for me. I'm so lucky that, like, I wasn't taken as overbearing and they kind of laughed off or whatever, that I feel like that gratitude because I can't decide. I'm putting my energy at surrendering. I'm just, like, going to pummel that home, which seems so counterintuitive. But can you enlighten me on, like, if I'm supposed to be searching as I release and surrender to control, am I looking for happiness or peace?
Great question. I would argue hopefully a little bit of both, but you're not searching for peace or you're not searching for happiness, because when you find peace, the happiness comes second. And I think that's an important thing for people to realize. And when it comes to control,
yeah, happiness, I think, is distracting is going to be my point that I'm like, that has expectation.
Absolutely. Because some of the things that you're controlling, you might do an excellent job and it might provide a sense of happiness. And you might wake up the next day completely drained with none of the things you wanted to do done. So peace is really the thing that can create that lasting change. If you can be at peace with accomplishing the things that you wanted to and letting the external factors that are creating this idea of control in your mind, you're going to do better, period. You know what I mean? Like, the peace is the most important part. Happiness comes with peace. And that's sort of a hard thing to define. But when you are accepting the things that you cannot change, you will find a new sense of peace. Even in the moment.
You know, I like that you said sense of peace, because I feel like that destination is not going to arrive in my lifetime.
This is not a seminar on how to achieve nirvana in the Buddhist philosophy. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but we should have like a Buddhist on speed dial, though. That would be incredibly, because I am adding to my own suffering within this piece. But no, that really did help.
One of the things that helped me, because again, I have struggled with control my entire life. My first marriage, probably way controlling. Like,
you think you were way controlling?
I do. And it was because I wasn't being forthright with who I was. I was putting on a face and trying to be someone that I wasn't. So therefore, I wanted to control every element because I thought I'd be outed otherwise.
You were creating a whole stage play. And so
I had to control every element or else I was going to be outed as a phony. And that's exactly what eventually happened. You know what I mean? Because you can't control it. I was trying to control something that I couldn't. And when I started to sort of recover, for lack of a better word, from this, one of the practices that really changed my life is, again, something I learned in my journey of sobriety. But in the moment, when something goes wrong and you're recognizing it, you're feeling it, and that cortisol, your stress hormones coming through your body, I literally would take a second and just say, "Thy will, not mine, be done." And that does sound, and that's not mine. That is straight from AA, the big book, third step prayer. Thy will, not mine, be done. And I would say that to remind myself, hey, I'm not in control of what's going on right now. Mm-hmm. So quit trying to control it.
And I kind of like both sides of that coin of, it lets me pass the buck a little bit. Like, you know, thy will, not mine, man. Yeah. Like, I couldn't have done a thing even if I wanted to. And so,
just control what you can, which is your reactions, your mindset, and how you feel.
And how you talk to yourself.
Yes.
Quit gaslighting yourself. Like, honestly, and you have been an incredible positive influence because, I think that I'm a sarcastic, kind of snarky, little bit cynical. And so that gets amped up and I start telling myself like, oh, I'm just going to be lazy and just a lazy little beast today. And then it's like, oh, shoot, I'm starting to believe that. And you have been massive in realizing that I talk to myself. Like, if it was broadcast, it would be like, let's go ahead and get the butterfly nets and get her.
Well, I think that there's so much power in positive affirmations and the things that you tell yourself. But guess what? You can tell yourself things about the outside world to comfort yourself too. Everything is about regulating. We always want to get back to a state of regulation where we are in control of our emotions and feelings, because our bodies are hardwired to do a lot of things, and one of them is to react when there's danger. And if we are constantly reacting in a negative way and that amygdala is firing and we're in fight or flight, that's our programmed response. We go there first. But if you can say, my dad's going to be fine at the doctor, mm-hmm. I don't need to worry about this, and let it go, and say that to yourself, it's just like a positive affirmation where I don't need to be in control of that. It's going to go just fine. That's another way that I sort of handle that control method is I look at the positive affirmations and I say nice things about myself of like, hey, you look good today.
Hey, good looking.
You know, my Coach Prime stuff, look good, feel good, play good.
That's, hey.
But then I go and say, okay, and these things that I'm worried about that I don't have control over, I recognize I don't have control over it, and then say, it's going to go just fine. They can handle it. They can handle that. Mm-hmm. They don't need me for
Let
that.
Them.
Let them.
Let them try to handle it.
Exactly.
Yeah, Mel, I can't wait. We're going to have to gift a bazillion books. But yes, I think let them and then let me take up that space and own it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I know peace is a long way off, but just the idea that a sense of it, like a whiff. Yeah. Sniff. I'm just hunting for a whiff.
What does peace look like for you? Like if you.
No freaking clue.
No freaking idea.
Like having. Because I'm like, I know what. Excitement and anticipate. We've covered all of that good stuff. But like, I don't know what it's supposed to, because I feel very. I don't know, zen, contented, blissful sometimes. You know, I can find little moments.
I think you're thinking about it too big.
I'm thinking about all of it too big. And so I think I can find peace. Like I said today, I'm like, I might slice this onion for no other reason than I process
you
through.
Zen out. Like it's chopping is like a zen garden for you.
Prepping. I am your mise en place master. I will be a great Sue in the kitchen.
And
let JD
you recognize,
cuss it out of the oven.
You recognize what I'm doing here, right? You just found peace. You know exactly what peace is. It's not an overarching concept of like, oh, I have peace in my life. Mm-hmm. It's a momentary feeling. And you want to create that feeling as often as you can.
That's why I take so many baths. I take so many baths.
I'm telling you, you know how to find peace. It's just, how do you do it in certain situations?
Right.
That's the challenging part of all of this.
Draw me a bath.
And when we talk about control, that's the hardest part is how do you find your peace when everything feels out of control and everything feels this way? And my answer to that and what's worked for me personally, because that's all I'm going to talk about, is I recenter and make sure I'm only trying to control the things that I can. And then I let everything outside of my control happen. It's that acceptance, and it opens up the space for you to connect with yourself, find your peace, and it actually makes you a better connector and communicator, and make sure that the quality time that if it's an external struggle with the people around you, you're actually giving them more by making sure that you know how to find your peace.
Right, because it does sound with the surrendering that it's the resistance to it that is what's the most taxing. Because like you said, if I surrender and I'm not fighting back and pushing and trying to control and drive and point in this direction, I am, you know, visibly more available, emotionally more available. And so I think that the resistance to I think I could spin surrender in a... I just need to feel like it's safer. And that's how you get trapped in the catch-22 of the freaking illusion.
Right. I wish that surrender didn't have the negative connotation, because it does have a lot of power.
Allowing
in it.
Life.
Exactly. There's a lot of power in surrender. And it makes me think of, you know, when I used to work with teenage boys, the two things that were most important to teach these boys who had seen a lot of trauma early in their life was resilience. Mm. That was the first thing that we wanted to see. And the second thing was adaptability. And when we're talking about control, adaptability and resilience are so important.
Huge.
Because if you can't adapt, again, that's just the clear sign that you are trying to control the situation. Adaptability and being able to find a way to make the situation fit your needs, even though it's not what you expected, mm-hmm. that is really...
Flexible expectations.
That's a inner peace moment in itself. right. of being able to adapt and still meet your own needs.
In adapting gives yourself the gift of
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like adaptability and resilience are huge in any kind of healing and growth situation, especially with control. And if you find yourself not being able to go with the flow ever or have any adaptability, I would just question, like, what is making you feel like you have no control in your own life?
Yeah, that's a scary spot to be. Yeah. And so I'm like, I still work with teenage boys. I'm just teasing.
Hey, but I will be a child forever.
I feel like in my mind, I'm like, yeah, I'm cool with adaptability. Here are my three options. So I'm getting closer. And then I'm like, pick any of these three and we're good to go. Uh-huh. So I liked it.
Yeah. What a wonderful talk. I really appreciate it.
I feel a little bit lighter and I
do
need
you?
That.
I hope do. So. I never like it when it feels like I'm analyzing you, but
no,
I
came for a little bit of where I'm just like, yeah, damned if I do, damned if I don't. And I don't think I'm broken. I'm not trying to over it, but I'm just
no
like,
one's broken.
Like, again, is it the, oh, I don't want them to think of me as controlling. I am who I am, but I'm exhausted.
I don't want them to think of me as controlling. You have no control over that.
I have zero. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So this has been good.
This has been really good. Well, everybody, I'm JT.
And I'm Jordan. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time.
Be brave, beautiful friends.